You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
It's him. He's alive.
And now back with us on the Kyven Foods guest line is Sam Gash. Let me remind you about Sam's background. He's from Hendersonville, North Carolina, played his college ball at Penn State from 1987 to 1991, and he helped them to wins in the 89 Holiday Bowl and the 91 Fiesta Bowl. He was an eighth-round draft pick in 1992 by the New England Patriots, and he played fullback in the league from 92 to 2003 with the Patriots, Bills, and Ravens, was selected to back-to-back Pro Bowls in 1998 and 99. In 1996, while he was with the Patriots, he won the Ed Block Courage Award for being a role model of inspiration, sportsmanship, and courage. He was a member of the Ravens Super Bowl championship team back in 2000, and over the course of his career, he had 121 carries for 327 yards and two touchdowns. He also had 169 receptions for almost 1,400 yards and 13 touchdowns. And we're delighted to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Sam, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back.
Hey, guys, it's always a pleasure.
So, Sam, you know, I'm not sure there is a more bruising fullback in the history of the league than you. And you're in your late 40s now. Just curious to get your thoughts. How's the body feeling? How do you feel, you know, at this point in your, you know, in your life?
You know, all in all, I feel pretty good. I did. I just had a knee replacement about a year ago. Going through, you know, making sure that mentally, you know, I'm not so far off the beaten path as most people are. And that's something that, you know, I think about now, just because I have five boys that all want to play, that are all playing football. So when I see those guys, you know, if they get up from the field slow or something like that, my antennas go up. You know, physically I feel okay. Mentally, you know, there are things that, you know, feel a little cloudy at times, but, you know, I'm functioning and I'm able to, you know, I'm still coaching my boys right now, flag football and lacrosse and anything I can do to help them achieve whatever goals that they want to achieve. That's pretty much what I'm doing in my late 40s right now. Still coaching, you know, still enjoy coaching, still love the NFL. I realize everything that, you know, I got from the NFL, you know, everything comes with a price, but, you know, it was fun. I wouldn't change a thing, and I would continue, you know, I continue to promote the game, you know, as best I can.
Are you nervous at all, Sam, for what could be down the road? Does it bother you at all? I mean, to your point, we talked to so many of your former peers and things, mm-hmm. you know, and guys of that nature that have been around since the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, mm-hmm. that, you know, some of those mm-hmm. guys obviously struggling pretty hard. Are you nervous at all what could be down the road for you?
You know, I do at times. I do some days get nervous because I've had quite a few buddies that have died. And maybe they were going to, you know, everybody's going to die at some point in time. These guys were young and, you know, I haven't displayed any, you know, I have displayed some of the symptoms that they talked about, you know, just in talking to them before they passed. But, you know, I don't go day to day and worry about it too much. I played the game as hard as I could, as long as I could. And we were taught back then a little different technique. You know, nowadays the game is taught different. The game is told its approach is different. When you get injured, when you get, you know, hurt, you have time to heal and recover. Whereas back in the day, shoot, if you were, you know, if you were out of sight because you couldn't play or anything, then basically you were out of mind and you could get cut. So there was no, you know, you couldn't kind of hang out and get healthy to play because you knew once the season started, once training camp started, there were no more healthy days. And that was the way I kind of approached it. That was the way I trained in the off season. You push yourself as hard as you could every day because you knew what was about to come and you wanted to be prepared and ready for it. And that was, you know, the two things that I tell my kids they can control are their attitudes and their effort. And as long as you have a great attitude and give maximum effort on everything that you do, you'll come out okay. And that was, you know, kind of what I did and what I enjoy to do. I heard Anthony talk about Coach Parcells, you know, and it was hard. it was tough sledding for him when you had 2-3 weeks straight of two-a-days back then, and you couldn't get hurt because if you did, you might not be there. And that was just the way it was. And do I worry about going forward? You know, I put it all in God's hands. Whatever happens, you know, I leave the glory to Him, and I'll teach, you know, everything is a teachable moment. And that's just kind of how I look at it now.
So, Sam, let's talk some happier memories and things from your past. And, you know, let's talk about your alma mater, Penn State, ranked number 4 in the nation right now. They renew their rivalry with Pitt this Saturday. I'm a kid from Pittsburgh, and that rivalry was all, you know, all the rage back in the day. What do you remember about being a part of that Pitt-Penn State rivalry?
That it was a rivalry. I mean, there was, you know, it didn't matter. You could throw the records out the window. It didn't really matter who was, you know, who was the best coming into that game, because you knew that game was going to be a hard-fought game, and it was pretty personal because there was a lot of guys on the team from Pennsylvania, at Penn State, from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and the surrounding areas, and there was the same people on Pitt's team. From this, you know, they played high school ball together, so they knew each other, and you know, it felt like a dogfight every year, at least for 3 quarters. And then we kind of always felt that if it was close after 3 quarters, we would win the game. That was just how we felt at Penn State. But it was a great rivalry. I'm so glad that they renewed it, that they renewed the tradition of playing that game, because I think that it brings, you know, it brings everybody out of the woodworks. And Pennsylvania is such a great state of football that it's just a fun, fun game to watch. I can't wait for this weekend to watch it. I wish I was there, but, you know, having my, you know, I got my kids and, you know, we have things to do, and I just don't want to miss anything because, again, with everybody that has passed away that I know, I don't want to miss it and say, oh, you know, I was here and there and I missed my kids. I can't do that now.
Bob, questions for Sam?
Sam, staying on Penn State, we talked to so many guys that played there. And, of course, the subject of Joe Paterno and what he meant to them comes up. And it's mind-boggling, Sam. Every guy we've spoken to says that the impact he had on them was incredible and that it has nothing to do with football. And I'm sure that's the case with you.
Oh, yeah. No, he, you know, I consider Coach Paterno saving my life, you know, big time. I wasn't fortunate enough to have, you know, my father growing up. He was, you know, he had, you know, some problems with alcohol, and he was not around very much. And when I left North Carolina, I really hadn't talked to my dad much before that. And when I got to Penn State, Coach Paterno basically took me under his wing. And my dad had passed away when I was in college, my junior year. And I thought I was kind of done because there was a lot of regret, you know, not talking to him. And that's why I tell anybody now, if you have problems with your parents, settle it out. You know, you love each other. Even if you don't think you love each other, you love each other. You know, settle it out, because that was something that Coach Paterno helped me come to terms with. And it had nothing to do with football. It was all about life and growing up. And he basically guided me through my 4 years at Penn State and never let me quit. And even though there were times that I wanted to, you know, Coach Paterno would not allow me to leave, and not in a bad way, just wouldn't allow me to fall by the wayside. And he, you know, he brought me back from the dark side, you know, one time that, you know, I owe him my life, without a doubt.
And Sam, you had touched upon off-season preparations, things like that. For a guy like yourself that spent so many situations in the trenches and really mm-hmm. did the homework and dirty work out there, how were your off season spent as far as workouts, Sam? As far as, was it weight based? Did you do a lot of running? I mean, knowing that you're going to pretty much be hitting guys all the time when you started mm-hmm. playing, how were your off season spent?
Well, anytime I lifted to failure. I lifted till I couldn't really lift my arms or walk very good with my legs. And, you know, that was the lifting and just hardening up the body. And, basically I ran, All I Ran, and back during that time, Jerry Rice and all those guys would come out and they were running hills, mountains, and stuff like that to basically increase their leg drive, muscle drive, you know, muscles, knee lift and everything. And I ran a lot of mountains, and that was what I would do during the off season when I was home, is at least 3 times a week, I would go to a mountain and run it. And I never ran the whole mountain. It was about 2 miles long, straight uphill. And I would try to run as far as I could every time and just keep increasing that. And, you know, but anytime I worked out to failure, because I was always working out against that linebacker that I didn't know. And I would make him out to be, you know, Junior Seau, superhuman hero, you know, style. And that was the way when I trained and I drove myself. And that basically would not allow me to quit, because, you know, I wanted to drive to be able to beat whoever it was that I had to face. So I would train, and I would always train against a mythical character in my mind and stuff. And that was just something I played tricks with myself to push it. And it just, you know, that was just my way of getting ready. And it worked, you know, for me. I was, you know, I could always go just as long and just as hard as anybody else. And that was, you know, part of the deal, being able to go longer, harder, and just being able to sustain, you know, that maximum effort and beat guys. And I would go at a guy that people knew when I played him, I was going to go as hard as I could. I was not going to, you know, slow down, back up. I always tried to accelerate the contact. And that was just, you know, having a blind trust that, you know, I knew God was going to take care of me on the field. And, you know, that's why now, you know, you tell you, I heard, also you mentioned the Gridiron Great, you know, and a lot of the retired deals. There's a tournament September 18th at the Cherokee Country Club up in Madison, Wisconsin, that is a, Gridiron Greats event. And I just think that any NFL player that played, that can show up and go to it, they should, because we as older players, you know, owe to the players that played before us, and obviously the guys that are having problems after us, you know, we owe that, because this game was a privilege to play. It wasn't a right. It was a privilege to play, and being one of the, you know, the one percenters that do have an opportunity to play it, I think, you know, basically once you start playing, I think you owe it to the game to give back as much as you can.
Thank you for throwing that in there, Sam. That's great stuff. And, you know, we, like I say, we are very partial to the great folks over there at the Gridiron Greats. And you can find them online, again, at gridirongreats.org. Sam, a couple of more for you. And when you were drafted by the Patriots in 92, they weren't the same Patriots that we see today. They were coming off, you know, a 1-15 and 6-10 years in 1990 and 91. Dick McPherson was the head coach at the time. Were you happy just to get drafted and get the opportunity to play, or were you a little disappointed it started out in New England?
No. I was very happy. You know, New England, that was a great – I spent 6 years of my career there. Started out with Coach McPherson, and then about halfway through the season, Dante Scarnecchi took over, and he was the special teams coach at the time. And ended up being, you know, our head coach for like probably half the season. And I think that, you know, that year basically helped mold me into being the player that I eventually became, because back then we had 45 man rosters. There was no practice squad, nothing like that. So when we went, if you made the team, you may play on offense, defense, but you were also going to do the scout teams. Whoever you were, everybody kind of did it back then. So that kind of got me ready for when Coach Parcells came in the next year. He was getting rid of everybody. If you got hurt or you kind of messed up situational football, didn't make a play that you were supposed to make, then he didn't trust you. And if he didn't trust you, you weren't going to be there. So that was my job, to make him trust me and know and believe that I was going to be there for him every single day. And that catapulted me on through my career, and everything else was easy after that. I loved, you know, playing New England at the New England Patriots. Now, when I left, I was upset, because they ended up signing another guy that I thought that I was better than or should have stayed, but it was Pete Carroll's first year there. It was right after we had lost the Super Bowl to Green Bay, and I ended up having a tore my knee about the 14th game of the season and didn't get a chance to play in that game, because to this day I felt like if I had played against Green Bay, we'd have won. That would have been our first Super Bowl win right there. But didn't happen like that. So when I left and went to Buffalo, you know, I was, you know, upset. Just, you know, being the player that I was upset, and I wanted to take that out on them, you know, pretty much every time. And I think we beat them like 3 out of 4 times the next couple years when I was there in 98-99. And then, you know, it was cool. But I love watching Tom Brady. You know, I think that he's one of the greatest quarterbacks that I've ever seen. You know, just the way he handles, the way he plays the game, the plays that he can make, and the anticipation that he has is just second to none. You know, so I'm very, you know, happy for him. And Belichick was there when I was there. You know, he was the DB coach with Parcells during those years. And, you know, you always knew he was a great coach, and it just has shown that he, you know, he has the right pieces in place every year to be competitive. And, you know, it is, again, I'm a New England fan. You know, I played there. I haven't been back since I left, but, you know, I'm still a fan.
So, Sam, before we let you go, let our listeners mm-hmm. know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing, you know, follow you as a coach, follow you on social media or online?
Well, you know, I kind of missed that era of being, you know, really big into the social media stuff, but I do have a Twitter, and it's @SamGash6952. And then Facebook is just Samuel Gash and stuff. But the Twitter, I got that because I used to like James Bond, and he used to always go Bond, James Bond. So I said Gash, Sam Gash. You know, and yeah, I do post things. I post a lot of stuff about my family, you know, my kids and stuff whenever they're, you know, if they do something, then I'll put it on there. And, you know, people ask me questions and stuff. I do try to answer them. And, like, you know, whether it's good or bad. You know, I posted something the other day, and a guy said, yeah, I can't like that because I think I said something about, you know, I just want to be able to spend time with my kids. I forget the tweet that I had said, but, you know, he said he didn't like it. And I was like, that's cool. Maybe, you know, you weren't supposed to. Maybe you didn't understand what I was saying, and that's fine. You know, but, you know, so those are the only two that I have. My kids all have Instagrams and all them other accounts, whatever they are. But, you know, I'll go Twitter and Facebook, you know, most times. So if people want to reach out, they can go Messenger or tweet me @SamGash6952. You know, and that's, you know, that's where
we really enjoyed getting to know you a little bit over the last, you know, probably couple of months. You know, the first time we had you on the show, we enjoyed it so much that, you know, we wanted to get you back on just as quickly as we could. And tonight's no different. No, you're fantastic. No. Thank you so much for your time.
Bob, I appreciate you guys. And like I say, anytime, if there's ever any issues that you want to talk about dealing with the NFL, I'm definitely a big fan, and I'm going to be on their side, but sometimes it's hard because being a former player, you know, you see things going on, but I'm happy with the direction that the league is going in terms of, you know, player safety and looking out for those guys. But those guys have to play the game one day at a time and can't think about when they're my age. Once you get here, then you deal with it if you want to play the game.
Well, thank you so much for all of that, Sam, and we look forward to hopefully having you back on the show again real soon. And between now and then,
anytime.
All the best to you and your boys and your family.
Stay well. Take care, Sam.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Take care, Sam.
Good night.
Take care.
That is former Patriots, Bills, and Ravens Pro Bowl fullback Sam Gash. And Bob, you know, like I said, you know, to Sam, you know, we enjoyed it so much the last time. You know, we wanted to get him back on just as quickly as we could, and boy, I enjoyed it just as much the second time. So much more to get into with him. Hopefully we get him back on again pretty quickly.
Yeah, don't we love those lunch pail guys, Chris? And I could tell you, for a guy that hasn't been to New England, they haven't forgotten him up here. And you mentioned Sam Gash's name to anyone up here in blue-collar New England, they just smile because he had that type of career, a fan favorite, and just did everything he could to help that team win. And just love his attitude, Chris. Great guy.
Yeah, absolutely right. All right, we've got our next guest, Eric Coleman, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Eric on the other side of this quick station break.